welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. It's a fantastic Monday here in Sunshine, Florida. Nice weather today. A lot of wild articles we're going to dive right into. So I'll start off and see if you want to open up with anything, Dad. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing absolutely wonderful, Austin. I had a wonderful day yesterday. Had a great time in church. Our pastor had some health problems, and he's back, and so it was nice to hear him speak again. And so it was a lot of fun. But the last couple of days, I've noticed that they've really been covering us up with the chemtrails again. And you know, for a couple of weeks, there was like nothing. It was absolute blue skies in California here. And an activist post, Bernie Suarez, wrote an article, and I want to read you part of this. And he's talking about the chemtrails. And he says, it starts off, forget Trump, the military-industrial complex takes charge and blasts the skies again with chemtrails. I mean, they're crisscrossing us down here in Florida today. And he goes on to say, almost exactly 2 weeks into the Trump administration and after nearly 2 weeks of normal blue skies and fluffy clouds in Los Angeles, the U.S. military-industrial complex struck with a vengeance, bombarding the skies with a massive blanket of white chemical trails every day this week until it rained. We're talking 100% in-your-face visual evidence of weather modification shoved down our throats. This is a reminder that everyone who voted for Trump and those still hopeful for a better America and a better humanity, now that Obama and the sorcerer and the wicked witch of Benghazi is gone, needs to hold the president to his promises of making America great again and giving government back to the people. Power and greatness must be founded on truth and ethics. Then there is nothing ethical about spraying the species just because weather modification profits and who knows what else are the table of the military-industrial complex. Today, we the people are speaking loud and clear. We refuse to be sprayed like bugs, and we acknowledge that all of the geoengineering and weather modification patents owned by the Department of Defense and its contractors do not equate to permission to spray us. All spraying of the skies is illegal because no one has given their consent. As it is with medicine and science, all experimentation requires consent. The fundamental principle of consent ensures that the immoral thugs who have agreed to be involved in these illegal spraying programs are criminals committing crimes against humanity. And he goes on, if you want to read the rest of the article, to go into more detail on this, and he has a good video attached to it. But what we need to realize is this. Number one, the way the Department of Defense and the military-industrial complex has gotten away with this is they've never rolled the program out to tell us that they're doing it. They do it under the guise of experiments and research. That's how they get away with not spraying us. If they told us suddenly, we've done these experiments and we're going to start spraying you guys, here's what we're going to do, the whole world would rise up, pitch a little fit, and say, you're not doing this. We don't want to be sprayed like bugs. So they hide it in their black ops programs. They hide it in their secret programs. They hide it with their military-industrial complex, and they go down deep, deep, deep. But Bernie's exactly right in this article. We've had some of the most beautiful days that I've seen in years for the first few weeks. I guess they were trying to figure out how to bury the spraying down deep so Trump couldn't find it, and they've been able to do that, even though they've got a new director of the CIA who is generally in charge of these spraying contracts. So, guys, we've got to find a way to get this information to Trump. I'll do it from my end the best that I can with the contacts that I have. And we've got to get him aware of the fact that he may already be aware of the fact that they're doing this geoengineering to us, and it needs to stop. What do you think, Austin?
Absolutely, it needs to stop. You know, and real subtly under the table, remember the UN came out last October and they said, well, we're putting our blessing on geoengineering and weather modification under the guise of preventing what's global warming. It's all for your protection. We'll allow it as long as we're protecting everybody from global warming. And they didn't go into detail in their article what they released about what exactly was they were putting their blessing on, but they, if you put two and two together, it's pretty evident that they're slowly trying to come out now and be more blatant about it, how they're accepting it and it's okay, because a lot of the population that is really starting to wake up to these chemtrails. More and more people you talk to are starting to say, those aren't contrails, bud. Those are chemtrails. I've heard that more and more, probably more over the last 6 months than I have ever. So a lot of the population is starting to waken up to the toxic spooge that they've been spraying on us for the last decade, 15 years, depending on how long you've been awake and watching them. So it's kind of disgusting, honestly, to look up and see that stuff. And it's something that we really, really need to bring a halt to immediately. And if they're not going to stop it 100% right off the bat, then we need to have full 100% disclosure of what their plan is, what they're spraying in it, how they're doing it, what exactly is being put in the aerosols, so we know exactly what's being done. And then at that point, we can make an informed decision whether or not the American population and the global population wants to be continued as experiment lab rats being sprayed like cockroaches with Raid on the ground down here. And that's what needs to happen next, is if they're not going to stop it immediately, we need full disclosure. But that's not going to happen, in my opinion. So the next best step would be the, having the whole program halted, because I don't like this stuff sprayed on me any more than you do.
All right, what's your next story?
Well, as I'm pretty excited to see this, granted, I'm still not a fan of the ATF or their agency or almost anything they're involved in, but now they actually get to do something and get paid to do it that's actually resourceful. Instead of just cutting a paycheck and harassing law-abiding citizens for our $200 tax stamp to own our constitutionally lawful suppressors and machine guns, which we shouldn't have to pay a tax stamp for under the NFA Act, which needs to be repealed, by the way. And there is a petition out on the White House gov right now to repeal the NFA. I urge you, if you get the chance, to please sign that. Once we get 100,000 signatures, it has to be addressed by the Trump administration. The NFA was founded in 1934, right around the same time the ATF was enacted, and they were brought in under the guise of protecting the American public from gangsters owning short-barreled rifles, machine guns, and suppressors. Ever since then, our constitutionally given firearm rights have been severely limited through the NFA. Anyways, I digress. The ATF now is just released a memo that it's permanently relocating more agents to gun-controlled Chicago in the wake of the city's nearly 800 homicides last year and the upward trend in violence during January this year. The new agents will be part of the Chicago Crime Gun Strike Force. The ATF headquarters in Washington sent out a bulletin to field offices around the country Wednesday looking for agents to volunteer for a permanent transfer to Chicago. An unified ATF officer said it's very unusual to ask for a permanent relocation in reaction to a specific problem. Normal practice is for the agency to request a surge of ATF agents for 30 to 60, maybe 90 days for that period of time. However, this is a full permanent transfer, meaning these guys will not be leaving the ATF offices nor the task force that's deployed over in that city. And what's interesting about this, kind of sad, but January this year saw a massive surge in shootings and violence that easily surpassed the violence witnessed in January 2016. There were already at least 42 homicides as of January 22nd this year, marking up over 34 homicides last year at the same time. So that's almost a 23% increase over last year. Now, if you guys remember, I'm not saying this is related, but it's pretty, you know, you put two and two together. Donald Trump tweeted January 24th, you know, about a week and a half ago, if Chicago doesn't fix the horrible carnage going on, 2017 with 42 killings up 24% from 2016, this is horrible. If Chicago doesn't fix the horrible carnage, I will send in the feds. That was a week and a half ago. Now last week, ATF's issuing a memo that they're transferring multiple agents to Chicago for a permanently driven task force to take care of the ever-growing homicide gun violence in Chicago. And quite frankly, I cannot say this is a bad thing, because at the rate this is going, this is really the only plausible option, is to send in specialists that deal with firearms on a regular basis. Remember, a lot of the guys that are ATF field agents are retired military. They have been in numerous firefights. That's why they like weapons so much. A lot of times dealing dealing with normal citizens of this country that are law-abiding. They tend to be extremely too aggressive and brazen, as we saw in Waco and Ruby Ridge. However, dealing with individuals in Chicago that are transferring, selling, modifying, and shooting people with machine guns and unregistered machine guns and selling them all over the city is something the ATF, I think, will be very, very well fitted and suited for. So we'll have to check back on this in the next couple weeks, in the next couple months, and see if they can make any difference in Chicago, Dad.
What would be the funny thing about all of this is when they start picking up these machine guns, if they find out they were part of the Fast and Furious campaign, they'll start picking up their own machine guns that they dropped everywhere. So, you know, all right. By the way, you know, we have a new product out. It's called Cortisol Buster. I want to stop for just a second and talk about this product. And one of the products that we keep in there is ashwagandha, and we have about four other products in there too to make it one of the best herbs that I've ever used personally for maintaining mental acuity and to stay real calm and real relaxed. And having teenagers here at the house, I have to have something to keep me real calm and real relaxed. Otherwise, I'm fussing all the time, and I don't like doing that. But I want to give you some breakdowns about the ashwagandha, just that portion of our product today. What people need to realize is that particular herb is highly, highly faked. There are probably 80 or 90% of the herbs that say they contain the ashwagandha have none in it. They like to grind up celery or just common house plants and put it in there and say that's the ashwagandha because it's very hard to get. We actually have this product tested to make sure from like a genetic standpoint that that's what it is before we use it in the Cortisol Buster. But I want to tell you what it does very quickly. This is an adaptogenic herb that has been used for thousands of years to rejuvenate and strengthen the body and also restore the adrenal glands. It's been used over 2,500 years. Ancient healers used to use it as a rejuvenation tonic that had the ability to give back strength to an emaciated body. It is reputed to give strength and vigor and increase stamina. Being an adaptogen, which means it does what it needs to do and it doesn't do anymore, it is able to help the body to increase nonspecific resistance to disease. It has been traditionally been used for arthritis, asthma, bronchitis, cancer, candida, fever, inflammations, nausea, rheumatism, diabetes, cancer, and to improve cognitive function and stress. It has a reputation as being a sedative, a hypotensive, an antispasmodic, and it's also an analgesic and an anti-inflammatory. Today there's an explosion of research that is actually focusing on this herb. The problem is there's also an explosion of fake product. What it does, it actually helps to elevate low sperm count with men. It's a double-blind study gave 46 infertile men a placebo or 225 milligrams and for 3 months, and the ashwagandha was standardized with at least 5%, and the sperm concentration improved by 167% versus 29% for the placebo group. In addition to that, it also elevated testosterone, and some researchers said it also increased libido in women by increasing luteinizing hormone. Now, I thought that was pretty important because that was with sexual dysfunction with women. It also talked about strength. It also promotes muscle mass and significantly improves muscle strength and exercise tolerance by decreasing body fat and increasing lean muscle weight. And we're going to post this on the website. I'm going to send it to Austin right now. Research has also shown that it eases anxiety. With 64 people with low sense of well-being and high sense of stress were given a placebo or ashwagandha root twice a day, for 60 days, the scores of perceived stress dropped by 44%. This goes on and on and on. I could do it just with weight loss, with burning body fat. It's been used with heart disease and diabetes and osteoarthritis. And I'm going to send this to Austin right now and have him post this on the website. Now, what's interesting about all of this stuff, again, these are genetic herbs they body uses. It only uses what it needs. I know me personally, it's massively increased my focus. It's giving me, I've gotten a lot stronger in the gym and I'm recovering a lot faster. And it also helps me to deal with the day-to-day activities of running and raising teenagers and not having to fuss with them. And it really helps to maintain a low cortisol level, which helps to reduce stress. So I love the product. It's called Cortisol Buster at healthmasters.com. I'm sending you the article right now, Austin, as I speak, to go ahead and have you post it on the website so everybody can read it.
Awesome. We'll get it posted up today. And the thing about it is just one capsule, along with all the other nutrients, one capsule of the Cortisol Buster has 150 milligrams of the ashwagandha. So two capsules, which is the standard dosage, is 300 milligrams. Taking four, which is what I personally like right now, that's what I've been taking, two with lunch and two in the evening, that's 600 milligrams of ashwagandha, which is very, very strong. And the clinical research area, they said pretty much anything from 500 to 1,000 exhibits very, very good effects at helping to naturally reduce elevated cortisol levels. And see, the good thing about ashwagandha is the root extract is it's not going to artificially massively suppress cortisol to unhealthy levels. You know, a small amount of cortisol in the morning to wake up, there's specific needs for cortisol and the stress hormone when it's needed. They make some pharmaceuticals that actually block cortisol, but they're very, very unhealthy for you because your body needs a small amount in small dosages at specific times when it makes it. What this does, this helps to utilize what your body's doing already, helps to kind of break up some of the cortisol and reduce it from becoming such a significant stress impact on the body, along with the other nutrients, and really promoting a calm, relaxed state of mind, not a sedative amount. Because I had a customer call today, they're like, well, is it going to make me sleepy like melatonin? It's absolutely not. You could take this first thing in the morning and you're ready to go. It doesn't have any stimulant effects to it, but it doesn't have any, you know, any sedative effects to it either. It really just kind of promotes a stronger mental clarity. And to me, I've noticed, because I'm pretty young, so my mental clarity is pretty peak right now still, but it helps me not get as edgy about stuff in the office. We're constantly dealing with emails, phone calls, customers coming in, shipments, pallets, all day long. Radio shows, you know, pretty much from 8 to 6 every day, we're wide open. This really helps to kind of reduce that edginess aspect, especially when a lot of fires need to be put out, so to speak. So, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Des. This has been a very popular product, already getting a lot of positive feedback from customers on it. So it's pretty cool. The next story I did want to address, too, this is something that's gone. Not a lot of people realize what's going on with this right now. On Friday, a federal judge in Seattle issued an injunction halting President Donald Trump's executive order banning travel from the seven countries. U.S. District Judge James Robart issued the injunction. Ferguson argued in a legal filing that Trump's travel ban, get this, violates the constitutional rights of Muslim immigrants coming into this country. Now, right now, apparently, this is escalated because now the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit Court is handling this. The Trump administration asserted in the court files to the Ninth Court today, they said every president over the last 30 years has invoked his authority to suspend or impose restrictions on the entry of certain aliens or classes of aliens, in some instances including classifications based on nationality, reads a filing from the Department of Justice. Does not matter. The injunction was still upheld, and now the Ninth Circuit Court is handling it and waiting on a response from the Trump administration by today, I think at 5. This is insanity to me because nobody who is a illegal alien, who is a citizen of another country, anywhere in the world, has a constitutional right to enter this country. I don't understand what this U.S. district judge doesn't get about that. If you're in Germany and you go, well, it's my constitutional right to bear arms in America, so I'm going to go into America illegally, and I want to buy all the firearms I want. And quite frankly, the NFA laws, none of that stuff applies to me as a German constitutional American now, so I don't have to follow any laws. The nonsense that this guy is speaking is absolutely repugnant. I can't even believe he's made it to U.S. District Court judge like this. So my question is this. This is something that's gone almost completely under the radar with this incident, and also, too, the fact that amid all this controversy, amid all these protests with Donald Trump and the immigration laws, nobody's talking about the fact that last year Congress quietly gave IRS the green light to revoke passports for unpaid taxes on U.S. citizens. Nobody wants to bring this up, guys. We talked about this last year when it happened, and nobody wants to talk about it, yet this court judge wants to sit here and file an injunction at the towards the Trump administration for not allowing individuals in terrorist-controlled countries to enter this country for 120 days, yet according to the IRS's own website, if you have delinquent tax debt, IRC 7345 authorizes the IRS to certify to the State Department, generally will not issue a passport after receiving a certification from the IRS. Upon receiving the certificate, the State Department may revoke your passport. If the department decides to revoke it, prior to revocation, the department may limit your passport to return travel to U.S. only. Look at this, guys. The IRS considers a tax debt seriously delinquent if the total comes to $50,000 or more, including interest and penalties. I don't know if you've ever talked to anybody that's had issues with IRS. I've spoken to people that have had that happen before. $50,000 in back taxes with IRS, including interest and penalties, is not that difficult to do if you have a significant business you're operating and you run into tax problems. Now they're saying that at any given time, if you're involved in any manner of delinquent taxes with IRS, they can revoke your passport. Yet this blithering idiot judge files an injunction on the Trump administration for doing something that needed to be done years ago until we can figure out who these people are that are coming into this country and why they're predominantly 70 to 80% early age males that are of fighting age into this country that really have no business being here when there's so many other surrounding countries in the Middle East that can take in millions of people, millions of refugees, which they have. A lot of them have over in the Middle East. We look at Saudi Arabia. They committed to taking in 100,000 refugees. Saudi Arabia, one of the biggest countries in the Middle East, one of the wealthiest, if not the wealthiest country in the Middle East, committed to taking in 100,000. You know how many they've taken in to date on the reports I found out the other day? 17 refugees so far they've taken in. 17 out of the 100,000 they committed, and they're still saying that they're going to take in more, yet they don't allow any to come in. The wealthiest, almost largest country in the Middle East won't allow any of them in there. That speaks a really big statement to me right there on why these guys are so adamant about not letting them in while demanding all these other countries far away in the West, like the U.S., takes in more of them unvetted, Dad. It's clearly an agenda here.
Well, the federal court judges have tremendous power. We talked about this last week.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember we talked about the fact that I remember Danny Strader got busted for running a Ponzi scheme here in Lakeland and taken in several million dollars and just basically stole the money from investors. And I remember he hired F. Lee Bailey back in the 90s, who was a huge name. I'm sure F. Lee Bailey's either dead now or retired by now because he was old even back then. And basically F. Lee Bailey told him, don't worry about it, I'll get you an appeal. Doesn't matter what the federal court judge says, you're going to get an appeal. We'll find some technicality or whatever. Well, he ended up getting 37 years for a white-collar crime, which is unheard of. I've never even heard of that before. And he was like in his 30s, and now he's like in his 60s, because it's been over 30 years he's been in prison now. And what ended up happening is they couldn't get an appeal. So you're not guaranteed an appeal unless you're on capital punishment. If you're going to for the death penalty, they want to put you under the, gas you or basically inject you and kill you, you have the rights to an appeal to an appellate court. But you do not have that right with a federal court judge if they drop the gavel on you. So in their mind, they literally think they're God because of who they are and the power that they have. Now I want to read you something, and one of the reasons to show you why this happened. This is a very good article you guys can look up. It's called America, the World's Most Dangerous Dictatorship by Gordon Duff. Now, I don't agree with everything in here, but I do agree with parts of it. He goes, during the Clinton years, a powerful Nazi-inspired element in America plotted what has become the most successful overthrow of the American Constitution. The movement was led by rogue industrialist John Mellon Scaife, S-C-A-I-F-E, and lawyers Antonio Scalia, there you go, there's that name again, and Newt Gingrich. Financing them was the Rothschild-owned and controlled Federal Reserve Bank. A secret society hidden in plain sight was set up called the Federalist Society. This Nazi-controlled group, remember now, George Herbert Walker Bush, George H. Bush, the old guy, his daddy collaborated with Hitler, and they still use the Nazi dishes and place settings at Skull and Bones for special occasions at Yale. The secret society hidden in plain sight was set up by the Federalists, called the Federalist Society. This Nazi-controlled group, backed by the powerful Israeli lobby, moved into every law school in America, recruiting top candidates based on skill sets needed. The program was devised by the CIA and recruited thousands of budding sociopathic personality types, recruiting them into the federal society and channeling them up into top law firms or government agencies. Added to these recruits were senior lawyers with ties to organized and corporate crime, thousands of them in major CIA operations. There, they were pushed forward and after a decade ran the U.S. Department of Justice, nearly every court in the nation, now here we go, controlled the law schools, controlled the American Bar Association, the FBI, and had put over 150 of their members into Congress in the United States. They also controlled every regulatory agency, environment, banking, finance, food, drug, safety. They also controlled five justices of the United States Supreme Court. During the Clinton administration, they managed to temporarily get control of the U.S. House of Representatives through the help of the Contract with America with Newt Gingrich, financed by Zionist black propaganda moneyman Robert Murdoch. In payment for this, Newt gave Murdoch an American broadcast network, Fox, though illegal. You can now see how Americans can't control the network or couldn't, and that's okay. Gingrich eventually gave Murdoch illegal American citizenship as well. Murdoch only had to publish Newt's useless books and give his wife, and Newt traded them in regularly, a highly paid do-nothing job as a bribe. During the Clinton administration, Skyfee hired lawyer Ken Starr to investigate Clinton and get himself nominated as special prosecutor. Skyfee paid Starr by naming him president of the Pepperdine University, which Skyfee controlled, for those who care about facts. Clinton backer George Soros hired a former CIA agent named Steve Kongas to get dirt on Skyfee. Kongas amassed enough evidence on Skyfee and his deal with Starr to send both of them to the electorate chair. Skyfee, Scalia, and the Federalists had Kongas kidnapped, and then he was murdered in order to save Ken Starr, who had been promised a seat on the U.S. Supreme Court, if you want to look into it. The deal really came to life in 2000 when the CIA and Diebold Corporation had contracted with computer guru named Michael Cornell, who developed software that would simply flip votes on electronic voting machines. Targeted would be the states of Ohio, Florida, and Virginia, piling up votes in key precincts just enough to guarantee control of the Electoral College, or so they thought. Of course, they had this massive, massive, you know, amount of people vote, show up for this thing. So what I want to show this to you is this. When these guys control the law schools, and they control the judges, and they control the attorneys, and they can control who gets picked because they're controlling the judges and the attorneys for the federal bar and for these federal courts, this is how this crap happens. This is how these guys get in, take control of the United States, and you have some super liberal judge out of California out there who basically has absolutely no idea what they're talking about. Illegal aliens do not have constitutional rights to come into the United States. That's never given to them by the Constitution. And the president has the right to stop anybody he wants coming into the United States. This is just another ploy by these guys to try to bring in Cloward and Piven and destroy the entire planet with their one world satanic government financed through the Rothschild banking cartel, controlled through the Exchange Stability Fund that was set up in 1934 in the United States, given they're trying to give it all back over to Lucifer. That's one of the reasons I started the show off with talking about the fact that they're spraying us like bugs again. It's as bad as it was under Obama now with the spraying down here in Florida, because they're letting Trump know on no uncertain terms whoever's in charge of the spraying is so deep, so black off, so far down the list that Trump probably won't even find out who these people are, even if he did try to stop it, Austin. That's why this federal court judge has done this. Now you know why. It's because of that wicked, wicked federal society that was set up that's basically a Nazi organization. What an unbelievable mess.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and you can see the agenda when you step back and you start looking at what happened after, you know, with 9/11, what happened with our invasion of Iraq, with our entire destabilization of the Middle East over a decade-long war, then our allowance of terrorist groups like ISIS to be funded and weaponized by our CIA. At the same time, we're bringing up the poppy fields while we're bringing the heroin back into this country, exploding the opiate epidemic. At the same time, we're causing a war in Syria, displacing millions and millions of people, that some of which don't deserve anything like that. They don't want to be involved in any terrorist organization, yet they still got caught in the middle of it. And then we start looking at all this stuff tying in together. And this today, I saw it this just brings everything in more and more, how the refugee program has nothing to do now with refugees and their safety. It's all about displacing individuals from this culture and to other countries that do not fit in with that culture. The UN's top official on refugees now, the UN, the absolute just, I'm not going to push into that real quick. You guys already know how I am about the United Nations, is massively pushing back now against a proposed initiative that gained significant traction to create safe zones in Syria. Do you know, there's people in Syria. Why don't we put areas that they can live safely and not allow them to be bombed? That's an idea. He says, absolutely not. It's not the right place to do that. Let's not waste time planning zones that will not be set up because they will not be safe for people to go back. Filippo Grandi, the UN High Commissioner on Refugees, stated that. I don't know what he's talking about, why you can't put in safe zones. Trump's already brought it up numerous times. So what is he saying now? Syria's going to turn into Chernobyl? We're just going to evacuate every living person out of that country and pretend it doesn't exist anymore and just abandon it? I mean, this is clearly the agenda that they had from the beginning. Even Turkey and Lebanon, which border Syria, are pushing for safe zones across the border. These two countries host over 3 million refugees between them, and they said, listen, we're on the border. We can set up safe zones in this area for people to live, people that don't want to leave the country, or for people that are trying to leave and they need a safe zone. UN director, absolutely not. It's not the right place to do this. There's no reason to waste time planning safe zones. He cited that terrorism and warring parties as obstacles to creating working safe zones in the country. The fact is, though, if you look at Syria, there are only about a half a dozen very, very significant hot war zones in that part of the country right now. Syria is very large. There's a lot of areas that they could set up safe zones, especially on the borders of Turkey and Lebanon, and allow Turkey and Lebanese military to protect these areas. But if you start looking at now, the way the agenda goes, it had nothing to do with bringing in refugees for their safety. It's all about displacing them. Even a British counter-extremist think tank came out now this week, and they said ISIS is providing passage to Europe to refugees willing to join the terrorist group. They stated offering potential recruits up to $1,000 while actively infiltrating migrant communities in the country's destinations. Groups such as Islamic State and Boko Haram recruit using financial incentives within refugee camps and work with smugglers and traffickers to facilitate the journey to asylum. They also said in here, in instances, ISIS is offering recruits up to $1,000, with the sum being a remarkable financial incentive for some refugees struggling to find their journeys across the Mediterranean. More than 90% of arrivals into Europe were in some way facilitated by forms of illegal enterprise, the report stressed. So as you see now, the whole thing's convoluted into one giant turning machine that's all designed by the globalists to A, displace the Middle East and the other countries that can't handle it, completely wreck the nationality of these countries, at the same time driving up the national debt in these countries. As Germany's already said, the cost of it is already around $95 billion to house all these Muslims and take them in. All this stuff comes together, Dad. When you start looking at this, you realize this has been one big globalist dream for a while now to do this. This makes so much sense now, why you have this blithering idiot district court judge in filing an injunction not wanting this executive order to come in, because they want to bring in more hundreds of thousands of refugees into this country to do the exact same thing they've done to Germany so bad on a larger scale, on a U.S. scale now.
It's all about the New World Order. It's all about a one world government. It's all about a one world religion under Lucifer. It's all about being connected to the quantum computer, to the D-Wave computer, through the chemtrails, to the Morgellons antenna, to all of the smart dust they've already infused into all of us, and basically learning to control our entire life cycle because of the interdimensional connection with Lucifer in the D-Wave computer. I mean, it's all about bringing in the New World Order, transhumanism, and worshiping their master, Lucifer. This is what the Sabbatean Kabbalists have done for thousands of years. You know, they wouldn't even call Sabbatean Kabbalists. You'd call them the Druid worshippers for thousands of years. And it's just who they are. It's the synagogue of Satan. Jesus called it out in the Old Testament. It's what it is. This thing has gone back all the way back to Nimrod, all the way back to the flood, all the way back. This goes back to the Garden of Eden, when man wanted to be like God and believe the lie of Lucifer to start with. All of this stuff is to take and turn upside down God's kingdom and destroy it as quickly and efficiently as they possibly can. And that's what it's all about. That's why they're using all of these different chemicals in the water. They're using all these petrochemical industry stuff that's getting into the air that's causing all of this feminization of men. I mean, I've sent an article out of my personal email this past weekend. I guess I need to go ahead and pull it up for the show tomorrow. Where have all the alpha males gone? And it talks about the xenoestrogen compounds in the water, in the air, in the food, everywhere. That's basically destroying men everywhere, lowering sperm count, and then that's causing this massive snowflake generation. It's causing all of these feminine guys to run around, and they're not the alpha males aren't around anymore. I feel so sorry for today's women who are actually looking for an alpha male. I really do, Austin. I mean that very sincerely, because when you go to these colleges, especially the Christian universities, you get so many of these boys that are just so feminized. And even in the major universities like Florida State, you see so many feminized guys now, and you're kind of like, what the heck happened? This wasn't like this when I was here 40 years ago. It's because of the food. It's because of the water. It's because of the fluoride. It's because of the chemicals. It's because of all of that. But I got some good news. This is pretty good, too, because we'd love to talk about Starbucks, and not in a positive way. The Black Rifle Company is firing back at Starbucks, and they're announcing that they're going to plan and they're going to hire 10,000 veterans. A veteran-run coffee company has issued surprising rejoinder to Starbucks, and it promised to hire 10,000 veterans itself. The Black Rifle Company, which describes itself as a premium, small-batch, roast-to-order, veteran-owned and operated coffee company, on its website made the promise via CEO Yvonne Hoffer's social media account on Wednesday. Hoffer rejoinder came after an open letter from Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz, in which he made the hiring promise to hire the illegal refugees. Wow. So, guys, congratulations to the Veterans Coffee Company. I'm really happy for those guys. If I drank coffee, I'd buy some from them. What's your next story, Oz?
Yeah, they're pretty cool. I've seen some of the stuff they do. They're definitely huge Second Amendment supporters. So if you do drink coffee and you decide you don't want to come off coffee, which I do recommend you do, but if you don't and you continue to want to do it, I would highly suggest you support the Black Rifle Coffee Company. They're great people over there. I've actually talked to a few buddies that have worked with them, and they're really cool, pretty much all veteran-owned. But, yeah, that's definitely something that I'm pretty glad they're doing that. Well, as we saw what happened at the University of California, Berkeley, last week, more and more stuff, obviously, we're realizing, as we already called it when it happened, points directly to George Soros. One of the we have now dug deep and found, there's an article on Breitbart now, they released it, one of the far-left anti-fascist groups directly behind last week's riot at Berkeley, the name of them was Refuse Fascism, they were the biggest group there, has received $50,000 from a group directly backed by socialist billionaire George Soros. The Alliance for Global Justice, which is directly funded by the George Soros Tides Foundation, donated $50,000 to fund Refuse Fascism, which openly brags about using violence to shut down conservative and libertarian speech. According to its most recent 990 tax form, Alliance for Global Justice received $50,000 from the Tides Foundation. Now, what's crazy about this is George Soros is another one of those tentacle squid globalist vampires who likes to get his hands in everything, and he does this. This is what he does. He funds all these different groups and individuals that are all about just inciting violence for absolutely no legitimate reason except whatever he tells them to. The biggest issue that I have isn't that he does this, because we already know he does this. We already know he's a globalist. We already know he's a Satanist. That put aside is the fact still why nobody has addressed why the University of California, Berkeley, made zero arrests that night after tens of thousands of dollars in property damage on campus to directly silence a speech speech of somebody that came in that they didn't agree with. You guys, I looked it up. University of California, Berkeley gets $370 million just to that campus annually in federal funds, yet they refused to arrest anybody there that openly displayed violent rioting behavior and caused tens of thousands of dollars in property damage. I have a real issue with that, Dad. Not, I mean, just the fact that they completely stopped and blunted the First Amendment of anybody that was open there that wanted to talk freely, but secondly, that they caused so much property damage, and yet not a single person was arrested. It was looked like to me from some of the videos I've seen that the police were told almost to stand down and not arrest anybody, release tear gas as least as possible, and arrest nobody. I have a real hard time with that, but especially getting almost $400 million a year in federal funding to that campus.
That means they hold a gun to your head, to my head, and they say, pay your taxes, which we do, all of them.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to give that money to these guys at Berkeley so they can do what they want to do. And see, and that's the problem with all of this stuff. That's why I'm really glad Trump is president, because he's literally been in hundreds, if not thousands, of lawsuits over the past 30, 40 years because of just the nature of his companies that he has. And so he's got a whole team of attorneys that he knows that are very, very good. And I'm sure if the Justice Department's not capable of handling it, he can bring in some of his own top team and start putting them into the Justice Department, with hopefully relatively good salaries, or at least they can do it pro bono for him as a president. Because the truth of the matter is he's going to have a lot of these federal court judges, because of that federal society office that we talked about just a moment ago, come in here and undermine his executive orders. I mean, it's going to happen over and over and over again. See, the true way to do that is to have the Congress override the executive order or whatever. But Congress needs to go ahead and pass reform right now on immigration. But then, of course, a federal judge could do the same thing with them. I mean, it's kind of interesting to me how now we're having a fight between the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch of the government, and how all of these things have been taken over by these fascists. I guess you could say communist, fascists, Soros, Rothschild, whatever you want to call them, minions. And now we're having to deal with all of this nonsense. And by the way, the U.S. has eased sanctions against Russia. This is an article out of Zero Hedge. It says the Treasury Department's Office of Foreign Assets Control, under Rex Tillerson, now has just posted a Russian-related general license notice on his website, according to which U.S. authorities have eased sanctions against Russia's Federal Security Service, the successor agency to the KGB, pertaining to licenses and permits for information technology products in Russia. According to the license, all transactions and activities with participation of the Russian Federal Security Service, prohibited earlier by executive orders of the U.S. President, are authorized with certain exceptions, also regulated to transactions necessary and ordinarily incident to comply with the rules and regulations administered by. So I thought that was kind of good that we're actually starting to de-ice our relations with Russia. Remember, just a few years ago, Obama banned the importation of the AK-47 and the Sega shotguns from Russia. Just a slap upside the head. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. And that Sega shotgun, by the way, is a great shotgun. You have to do a little bit of trigger work to it, but it's a great weapon. What do you think, Oz?
Oh yeah, those 12, any type of magazine fed semi-automatic 12 gauge is a great gun, especially for home defense. It's a little bulky with a 20 round drum, but I must say, from utilizing both of ours that we both have, a mid-size shotgun that's semi-automatic with a 20 round drum pumping out 12 gauge rounds. And I mean, semi-automatic, completely legal to own, and you can still put down 20 rounds down range in under a few seconds. I mean, I would probably say with a fast trigger, if you know how to control your reset, you can probably get that entire drum out in about 4 to 5 seconds. That's a very, very, very effective weapon if you were having a lot of people that had stormed your house, that were trying to do great bodily harm to you, and you had the right to defend yourself. Very good weapon. But then again, like you just said, Obama came in and banned all the Sega imports from Russia just because they were Russian, is what he said. But on the other hand, too, we see very clearly his anti-Second Amendment stance, and banning weapons and ammunition from Russia wasn't just because it was the sanctions on Russia. It was he was trying to do every single thing he could to prevent law-abiding citizens from having access to as many weapons as he could at least control. We already see what's happened in California. I mean, that got passed in November with the ban on any detachable magazines and anything over 10 rounds or more. They've been pretty much rendered utterly useless on what they can buy in that country, yet the crime still explodes, especially in South California, and many wonder why. Well, I saw this article today from the president of the California State Senate, and it boggled my mind that somebody could actually be in legislation in this country and be this deluded on what he actually believes is lawful and constitutional. He said that half of his family are in the U.S. illegally and in possession of false documents, basically. Kevin DeLeon, a Democrat from Los Angeles, made the comment last week when he introduced a bill to designate the state of California as a sanctuary state. Here we go, guys. We talked about it before. They're doing everything they can to find an excuse to decouple from the United States, being directly funded and bankrolled by China, to dive into the UN and carve up the United States so California won't be a piece. We talked about that in detail last week. But this guy, who is in the Senate, I mean, he's wild, president of the California State Senate. And I quote, this is what he said. This is what he said. I can tell you half of my family would be eligible for deportation under Trump's executive order, because if they got a false security card, if they got false identification, if they had a fake driver's license prior to us passing AB 60, if they had a false green card, anyone who has family members, you know, who are undocumented knows that almost entirely everybody has secured some sort of false identification. No, I didn't. I didn't know that. I don't have any fake identification. I don't have a fake driver's license or a fake social security number. I didn't know they were just handing those out lately. Golly. He goes on to express outrage about President Trump's executive order allowing for the deportation of illegal immigrants. And he also, too, said that committing to identify fraud to obtain a social security number was wrong. So basically, if you go out and you get a fake social security number, it shouldn't be wrong. And I quote again what he said. Someone simply who purchases a fraudulent social security card down at MacArthur Park or elsewhere in my district would be eligible immediately for mass deportation. Yeah, yeah, you got a fake social security number. During the interview, host Larry Mantle asked DeLeon if he believed the possession of a fake social security card went or deportation. This is the Senate, the president of the California State Senate. This is his response to that. I don't think so. The vast majority of immigrants have done that. I can tell you that I have family members specifically who came here as undocumented immigrants, and they have done the same thing. Really? Really? This is okay? It's okay to go get a fake driver's license and a fake social security number, according to this blithering idiot. Now, it says, speaks a lot for the district itself. It's 67% Hispanic in his district, while the community of East Los Angeles is 97% Hispanic, the least ethnically diverse area in the entire country and in all of Los Angeles County. So that speaks wonders from what this guy is talking about now. But can you believe that, Dad, that he had the brass to say, if you possess a fake driver's license and a fake Social Security card, you shouldn't be deported. It's okay if you do that because my family came here and did that, so it should be okay for anybody to come to this country and do that, regardless of constitutional or state law. That's ridiculous, man.
Well, the whole thing is that we've allowed this to happen.
Yeah.
What's happened is the government has turned a blind eye. They look the other way because they've collected Social Security taxes off their paychecks. And they just pretend like they're not really a problem. And I mean, you hire these guys and they produce a Social Security card and they can go on payroll and you can give them a 1099 or a W-2 and everything's okay because the IRS is getting its share and the Social Security is getting its share. And so everybody's happy. So everybody just pretends like it's not happening. And so that's the problem. You know, you've got a whole group of people now that actually are in this underground marketing program to get fake Social Security numbers, fake driver's license, fake IDs, fake passports, fake birth certificates, all of this stuff for these undocumented immigrants, because that way they can come in and say, hey, look, you know, we're okay. We're good people. Here's what we're doing. You know, we're working. We're paying our tax. We're paying our Social Security taxes. And you know, the sad part about it is that we've allowed this to happen. We've turned the other way. We've said, okay, we're going to allow you in here, but you got to pay your fair share of taxes, which they agreed to do when they do this. And the sad part about all of this is now we're coming back and we're saying, hey, wait a minute, it's okay if we cheat, lie, and steal or whatever we're going to do. It's okay if we do all of this stuff because you guys have given us permission for all of these decades to do this. And quite frankly, they've done this for generations of people in California, and now they're upset because Trump's finally calling it out and said basically because you have this illegal information, this illegal documentation, we can deport you. So it's turned into a giant mess that Trump inherited. He had nothing to do with any of this. By the way, defiant Iran is now slamming Trump, and they say, we will not yield to useless threats. We will conduct more ballistic missile tests, thanks to King Obama and the hundreds of billions of dollars, et cetera, et cetera. With this U.S. officially warning Iran twice over the last 24 hours in the harshest possible terms yet, when the first national security advisor, Michael Flynn, and then this morning Trump himself said Iran has been put on notice for destabilizing activity after it fired a ballistic missile in defiance of U.N. resolutions on Thursday. A top advisor to Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, was quoted by Reuters as saying the country would not yield to useless U.S. threats from an inexperienced person over its ballistic missile program. Guys, this thing, Iran is the last country that's not toppled over there, pretty much. And yep. We're going to be in a situation where these guys are going to poke Trump hard enough that he's going to be doing this. Now, this may be why the globalists have allowed him to go in to obfuscate the Democrats doing this or the Bushes from doing this, to have Trump go in there and be put into a corner and be pushed into a ring that he doesn't want to be in. Personally, what I would do, this is what I would do. I would pull all of the troops out of the Middle East. I would immediately negate the Iran treaty thing, whatever they did with Obama. I wouldn't send him any more money. I'd put him back under sanctions. I would stop all of that. And I would probably send in a few strategic strikes against their missile locating programs and also their uranium programs and their nuclear weapons programs and be done with it and not put any more ground troops in over there and then let these guys sort it out themselves. I would walk away from the Middle East and say, good riddance. You guys go kill yourself and your wild Shiite killing Sunnis and Sunni Shunnis killing Shia Shiites. You can't even get along with yourself and you're all Muslims. So you guys figure it out yourself. We're not bringing you into Europe anymore. We're not bringing you to the United States anymore. Just have fun over there in the hellhole that you live in because you don't want to listen to reason and you don't want to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ and walk in peace. Now, that's how I would do it if I was president. I'd do what Ron Paul does. I'd just say, you know what, guys? We got to pull out. You guys start threatening us, we're going back in. But we're not going to do it with troops, though. We're going to do it from our satellite-based weapon systems and our space-based platform weapon systems. You won't even know when we start dropping these rod of gods on you that what happened. That's, by the way, that's one of the systems. That's what it's called. Those are tungsten rods. They drop down at a high rate of speed and cause massive cratering explosions. So we have all of this advanced technology that we can use and never put a troop on the ground. The reason we put troops on the ground is it funds the military-industrial complex and it makes the Rothschild banking cartel richer and richer and puts the United States deeper and deeper into debt, hence the $9 trillion in unaccounted funds that the Pentagon said it's lost and can't tell you where the money went. Half the United States national deficit is money that they can't put their fingers on wherever it went. Unbelievable, Austin. It's all gone into the hands of the international banking cartel, the Sabbatean Kabbalists who worship Lucifer and who are trying to orchestrate this one world takeover through their fiat Babylonian satanic money system.
Oh, that's exactly what it is. And that's why I've said so many times before, Iran doesn't have a Federal Reserve controlled bank in that country. Yet they're a bunch of whack jobs. I mean, I'm not defending what they do. The Muslims over in that country, like you said, they can't get along. It's always ironic to me that everybody wants to defend the Muslim religion as it being this religion of peace. We need to embrace them with open arms. Yet they are the most violent religion in history. They have been in more fights as far as internally and caused more conflicts externally being a religion of peace than any other religion known to man. What's wild is the military-industrial complex, as you just mentioned, you're absolutely right. That is why we put troops on the ground. Just in 2007, the Department of Defense spent $50 billion on MRAPs, just armored personnel vehicles, mine-resistant armored personnel vehicles, just for the war over in the Middle East. Then, once we demolish a country, we pull out a lot of our stuff, leaving a lot of our equipment there, and then the equipment that we bring back, we go ahead and give it away. I just talked to my buddy at the Sheriff's Department. They got a second MRAP in the other day, monster MRAP. It's like the King Ranch High Country Platinum MRAP. I mean, it's things load up, sending photos. It's ridiculous. He's riding around it and going on a SWAT raid, and they're literally looking down on semi-truck drivers. Not exaggerating, but looking down on semi-truck drivers. It has a gauge on the inside of how far it tilts when you're driving, because if you're going too fast around the corner, it will flip very, very easily. It's that big and that heavy. As a gauge, as soon as it goes into the red, all the lights start buzzing on the dash telling you you're about to flip. So you have to be super careful with it. But the Sheriff's Department, you know how much they paid for the MRAP? He said the MRAP, I think, was roughly the build cost on it when they looked it up, was like $780,000 for this MRAP. They paid $2,500 for it from Homeland Security.
$2,500. I want one, Officer, for $2,500.
I said, where's mine at? I'll buy one for $2,500. That's a heck of a deal, even if you incur the maintenance expense on it. But yeah, apparently they won't do that program for civilians. They only do it for sheriff's departments, of course, and Homeland Security and all types of other policing activity as they slowly militarize every police department in this country, which has a whole nother initiative, in my opinion, to it, especially a lot of the police departments that are very, very globalist-minded, and they want to police with an iron fist. You start giving these guys this type of armament, he said they expected, I mean, obviously this thing could take RPGs, all kinds of stuff. I asked him, I said, well, what do you think it would take to the windshield? I know, obviously, it will handle a 50 BMG multiple times. He goes, I don't know, they haven't tested them. He goes, a couple guys that have been over in these in the sandbox said that they can take at least a dozen rounds to the windshield of 50 caliber ball, and it still won't penetrate. You just won't be able to see the entire windshield to be spiderwebbed. But that's how strong these vehicles are that police departments are riding around in for raids. So just food for thought.
Well, guys, I want to thank you guys so much for listening to us and being with us again. This is the fastest hour of radio as far as I'm concerned. It's in and out. We're done and gone. Love you guys. I appreciate you. Thanks for supporting us with Health Masters. Thanks for getting your cortisol busters from us. Everybody needs that product. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. I appreciate you. And I really do. I want to thank you so much. I hope you guys had a blessed weekend, too. We had a great time here at the house, and hope you guys are all doing well. And thanks so much for all your wonderful emails and all the support and all of your prayers. God bless you. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Austin, go ahead and close, bud.
Yeah, guys, and if you haven't seen on our Facebook, we posted the video with me and Hunter for the Purple Sticks product of the week. Also, to the Cortisol Buster, it's on regular price on the website, but on the Hagman Show and on this show, we gave out the Doug 5. That coupon is expired for all other products except for the Cortisol Buster, so the Doug 5 is still discounting 5% on the Cortisol Buster, and of course, if you order 3 bottles, you get free shipping and handling, so we've had a lot of people over the weekend ordering 3 bottles of the Cortisol Buster, getting free shipping, and getting additional 5% off that order still, you know, 2 weeks later after we introduced it. So really, really cool options. A lot of stuff on the website. You can also check out our kits, too, our Health Masters kits. A lot of those are on sale all the time for 10 to 15% off regular price. We have the Healthy Brain Support, Healthy Mood, which is a really popular one that helps out with just overall well-being and mood. That's a great one as well. And then, of course, the Basic Healthy Lifestyle Kit, which has been probably our most popular kit of all time. Our basic supplement kit with our C, our B, our Norwegian Omega 3, our multiple, and being on a pretty substantial discount, I think of 10% or more off. That kit's on sale right now. So check it out, guys. If you need anything, email us, call us, healthmasters.com. Our phone number is 1-800-726-1834. We pretty much have our new phone system up and running now. Pretty smooth transition. If you guys did have any issues with it, I apologize, but I really don't think there were too many problems. Now it's running perfectly, so if you need to get a hold of us, call us 9 to 5 Monday through Friday, Eastern Standard Time. Like I said, if you need anything else via email, which is the easiest way to go to our contact form on the website, you can type in contact on the search bar at the top and go to our contact form and send that to us via healthmasters.com. You guys have a safe, blessed night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.